Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to 3 and 30, a podcast to help you feel more like yourself within your motherhood. Each 30-minute episode features three actionable takeaways to help you become a more self-assured mom, someone who knows yourself, honors your needs, and loves your people. Listen in to feel encouraged as we learn together how to overcome overwhelm and find more magic in motherhood. I'm your host, Rachel Nielsen. I'm so glad you're here. I get to start today's episode with some big news. If you've been following the podcast for a while, you may know about the journal that I developed several years ago called Flecks of Gold. This three-year journal helps mothers to notice, savor, and record the fleeting golden moments they experience with their children and teens each day. It's a life-changing gratitude practice that thousands of mothers all over the world have participated in, and I get emails every week from moms who are so grateful for this journal and who want to know when we'll have more back in stock so that they can gift them to friends and family. We unexpectedly sold out this past holiday season, and we've been working hard with our manufacturer to get more in stock and to introduce new colors and even fabric options to make these journals even more practical and beautiful for mothers. While the journals are not back in stock quite yet, I do want to announce the next best thing. Now through Mother's Day 2024, you can pre-order a journal and you will get the best possible price that we offer all year long. This week only, the journals are marked down by $10 each, which is an even better price than our Black Friday sale. So go to 3and30podcast.com/flecksofgold to reserve your copy and a few to gift to friends. You'll also see our brand new colors, as well as our new vegan leather cover option. Again, go to 3and30podcast.com/flecksofgold to pre-order your journal, and from now until Mother's Day, they will be marked down by $10 each. Many people have asked me, is this journal good for moms of older children as well? And my answer is yes. This journal is for moms who want to focus in on the joy in their daily life with their children, no matter how old their children are. The golden moments that you write down will be very different if you have teenagers instead of toddlers, but those flecks of gold are still there. And especially if you're going through a bit of a rocky time with your teenager, it might be all the more important to notice these beautiful moments when they happen, or as my guest and I are going to discuss in today's encore episode, to create those special moments. If the golden moments with your older kids and teenagers aren't happening on their own, you may just have to be proactive and kind of make them happen by the way that you engage with your children. And thankfully, our guest today, Saren Iyer-Loosely, is going to give us three takeaways for pretty simple ways to do that. You might recognize Saren's name from other episodes of 3 and 30, and that's because she's been a mentor of mine for almost 15 years and has deeply impacted my motherhood. Saren co-founded the website Power of Moms with April Perry, and I was a writer and editor there for many years before I started 3 and 30. Saren is the person who gave me the advice that's at the heart of the Flecks of Gold journal and that I've mentioned on the show before. In motherhood, the hard moments sometimes outnumber the beautiful moments, but the beautiful moments always outweigh the hard moments. I can't wait to get into my discussion with her about how we can continue to focus on the beautiful moments in motherhood, even as our children get older. By way of introduction, Saren is a prolific educator who earned a BA from Wellesley College and a master's in education from Harvard University. She's done humanitarian and missionary work around the world, and she's designed and run curriculum and teacher training programs in schools and preschools across the United States. When Saren had five young children, she felt the need to connect and share ideas with other moms. So she used nap times and school time and sometimes late night hours to help co-found and co-direct the Power of Moms website that grew to a viewership of over 2 million mothers. Saren then founded a new organization called Power of Families that offers support and resources for both moms and dads, and she recently started a podcast with her three sisters called In the Arena, where they share their collective wisdom from the trenches of mothering 18 children between them, ranging in age from 1 to 25. I love their podcast, and I will link that, as well as all of the other good things that Saren is doing for families, which is a lot, in the show notes, and I can't wait for you to hear from her today. Saren and I recorded this episode back in 2020 when the Flecks of Gold Journal first released, and I am so glad to bring it back because it is even more pertinent to my life today as my kids have gotten older. So with no further ado, here's my conversation with my friend and mentor, Saren Iyer Loosely.
Welcome, Saren.
Thanks so much, Rachel. It's so good to be here with you and such kind words that you said. I'm so glad to be referred to as your mentor because you're so awesome.
Oh, well, thank you. And you really are. And I was just thinking today, your podcast with April is the first podcast I ever listened to. So it's kind of interesting to come full circle here. I remember at a Power of Moms retreat, you guys mentioned that you had a podcast. And I thought, what is a podcast and how would I even listen to that? And here we are, you know,
here
so pretty cool. You've had a really big impact on my life.
Well, thanks so much. And I'm sure, as you know, it might sound like wisdom to others, but those that are in the middle of it, like you and me, whatever stage you're at, it feels like you're just figuring it out day by day and trying to share the little wins that you ever are able to get. But it is hard no matter what stage you're in. And those flecks of gold, I'm so glad you did this journal and so glad that you appreciated that quote from long ago from me, because really that's what it's all about. You know, I mean, there's plenty of hard stuff, but when we savor those little flecks of gold, those beautiful golden moments, that's where we start to feel our power, our joy, and it starts to feel like it's okay that it can be so hard sometimes.
Yes,
know?
For sure. And I feel like I have a sense for what your children were like when they were younger, just from reading so much of your writing and listening to your podcast. But I don't know as much about what they're like now. And obviously without going into any specifics, but have your teenagers, has it been tough at times? I mean, I know parents say that the teen years can be really difficult sometimes to find those golden moments with those kids.
You know, it really is hard. And I feel like I really hit my stride when my kids were in elementary school. I love my babies and toddlers, but when they're in elementary school, we could really have conversations and we could go do field trips together and they could put on their own shoes and go to the bathroom by themselves. Like, I just felt like we are good. We can just do all this awesome stuff. And I felt like every day was full of these beautiful fleck of gold moments. And I just felt like, gosh, I'm an awesome mom and these are awesome kids. And we just had so much fun and I loved that time. And then they became teenagers and those hormones are no joke. And as they want to, I mean, it's a natural part of development. Kids need to separate themselves a little more from their parents because they need to learn how to be independent people. And it's a hard process when you're kind of in a really good place with your kids. And then you start to be in this place where you kind of feel like you're walking on thin ice sometimes. And you're like, I think I got it. Oh, wait, no, I don't have it. I hear some cracking. And it's really, really a challenge to go through that transition. And I can honestly say now that I love, love, love having teenagers.
And I love that you titled this episode, Create the Gold with Your Teenagers. And when I saw that verb, I thought, oh, that is so good. Because with toddlers, you notice the precious little things they say or the way they walk with their like arms outstretched when they're learning how to walk and things like that. But with teenagers, I'm sure there's still moments that you just notice really beautiful moments, but a lot of it may be more proactive, that you kind of have to go after that relationship with them to build it, to get those golden moments in your life.
Definitely. That is the big word, is creating it. And sometimes it's hard to create it because sometimes they're being very prickly, or you just got some like conflicts going on within yourself and within your kids. But there are so many ways that you can create it. So I'm excited to talk through some of those things a little bit with you today.
Perfect. Well, let's just jump right into your first takeaway.
Okay. So my first takeaway would be that tuck-in time with teenagers is more important than ever. So when you think bedtime routine or you think tuck-in time, we think of, you know, helping them get their PJs on and brushing their teeth and snuggling up to read a book together and saying prayers and kissing them goodnight. And those memories are beautiful with my kids when they were little. And I have to admit, I went through a time when, you know, they're 12, 13 and they're kind of finishing homework and I'm finishing stuff and they're like, good night. And I'm like, good night. And they go off to bed. And I realized, wait, no, that's not working. We need to still have tuck-in time, but it's going to have to look a lot different. They can get their pajamas on and brush their teeth by themselves. Thank heavens. It's awesome. But when they get into their room, and it's always a little different, there's not a specific bedtime. And I think that's one of the reasons I sort of fell out of the habit for a little while there, was that there wasn't this certain time and I'd get going on things while they were kind of getting ready for bed and I wouldn't even notice that they were in bed. But the last few years, I've been really consistent about going into their rooms and making sure to just have a small connection moment as they're just getting ready to go to bed. Sometimes it's just as they're heading into their bedroom, they brush their teeth, they're ready to get ready for bed. Or sometimes it's after they're in their bed. But before I go to bed, if I haven't had a chance to talk to them and they're still awake, I always make sure to go in and talk with them. And all it is I'll just go in and give them a kiss on their forehead. And I always make sure to tell them one thing that I noticed that they did really great that day, or something that I really appreciate about them. And that has been just that small point of connection. I leave the day feeling great about them. They leave the day feeling good about themselves and feeling like maybe their mom's okay after all, which is kind of nice some days. And it just adds that little sweetness. And oftentimes it's just simple and it's nothing special. It's just, you know, it's always kind of special, but it's never anything big on a regular day-to-day. But there are moments when it becomes really, really special. And when I can feel like, okay, that moment was really, really important. There are those times when you just are kind of rubbing against each other the wrong way throughout the day for various different reasons, or where the kids have had a rough day and, you know, people weren't nice to them at school, or they got a grade on a test they didn't like or whatever. So ending the day just by saying simple things. I mean, here's just a few examples of some of the things I've said to him at tuck-in time. I love how you worked so hard on that assignment this evening. I know it was tough and frustrating. I know it took way longer than you thought it would be, but it seems like you feel great about getting it done. And I'm just so proud of you for persevering and getting that taken care of. But anyway, we could wrap it up nicely by the end of the day and saying, I'm proud of you for working hard and getting it done, you know? You know, another little example, like, I loved seeing you run in that race today. I love how you put your whole heart into your races. The end. Kiss on the forehead. Good night.
Yeah. I mean, this is so beautiful. Is it something that you consciously, before you go into their room, do you think, what could I say to them tonight? Like, how do you even, sometimes I think we don't, it's hard to even put your finger on what you could say other than, I love you, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I think it kind of grew out of, you know, some rough times with various kids and realizing I needed to feel more love for them and needed to be looking for the good. Because you know how life is. If you're looking for good things, you will find them. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for bad things, you will find them. And with certain kids in certain stages, it's sure easy to just keep seeing like, oh, there it is again. Mm-hmm. He left his stuff all over the floor. Oh, there it is again. He's speaking in a rude tone of voice, rolling his eyes. I mean, it's just easy to start kind of almost labeling our kids and looking for certain behaviors that we're kind of expecting from them that are bad. So I found that in order to be the mom that I want to be and feel excited about motherhood, I needed to be putting my, you know, changing my lens and always looking for something good. So I found that as I made this a practice of doing this tuck-in time with just a quick compliment, I was looking throughout the day for those things. You know, of course, like with anything, with practice, things get easier. But now that I've been doing it really consistently, it's become quite natural.
Yes. And I mean, that's really at the heart of the Flexicle Journal, is that what you look for, you will find. And when you start looking for flecks of gold, you'll start noticing them all over the place when you wouldn't have even thought twice about them before. So I love that with this ritual, I'm sure now you're much more aware of those things since you are planning to have it be part of your tuck-in time later. So I think that this is so beautiful. And I will say that my most precious golden moments that I remember with my mom from when I was a teenager were at bedtime. And that isn't that interesting? Like, there's something kind of sacred about that nighttime. I just remember particularly that she would wait up, like after I went on dates or was out with my friends. It meant a lot to me that she was waiting up, or that she'd kind of, you know, tuck me in and hear about my night. My mom passed away when I was 19. And at her funeral, I actually talked about how sometimes I'd come in and then I'd go into my room and then I would hear like the creak of her bedroom door. And I knew she was coming to talk to me always, you know, and those bedtime talks are so precious to me. I remember times when I'd be up late doing homework and I'd fall asleep with like my glasses on and my books. And I would feel my mom take off my glasses and cover me up and turn off my light and give me a kiss on the forehead. And it just meant a lot to me to know that even as a teenager, I had a mom that was looking out for me, caring for me, tucking me in at night, aware of where I was at the end of every day, wanting me to be home with the family. So I think it's so important what you pointed out about like this shouldn't just end when our kids are little because they still need us so much, even as teenagers.
Mm-hmm. And that's often the only time that I really have that individual time with them. And even if it's only 30 seconds, or sometimes it ends up being longer. I remember one time I went in to tuck in my daughter and I just kind of gave her a pat on the hand and gave her a kiss on the forehead. And she kind of grabbed my hand. Mm. And I thought she was asleep, but I just sort of sat down and she had some things she wanted to talk about. So, I mean, there's just, you never know whether it's going to be something little and just tiny and just nice or whether it could be really important. So yes. I feel like you said, those memories, I don't know how my kids feel about it right now. I don't think they would say right now, like, oh, that's just so great that you do that every night. But I hope that when they're adults someday, they'll look back and I think they will have a warm feeling towards that. And all those little flecks of gold will have added up to be something beautiful, hopefully, in our relationship.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's take a quick break to thank this episode's sponsors. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. I'm turning 40 at the end of this month, and I am realizing more and more that midlife is a time of a lot of transition, deep thinking, and even some existential angst. As you consider where your life has brought you and where it's going, I thought this was probably just me because I have a naturally melancholy nature, but the more I talk to my friends, the more I realize that this is incredibly common. Some of the stressors of midlife feel too personal and private to talk about with friends. Stuff with finances, faith, parenting, insecurities, marriage, and more. So if you need somewhere private to talk through some of the heaviness in your life, I recommend starting therapy. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, I recommend trying BetterHelp. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Whatever you're struggling with in this season of your life, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/3in30 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/3in30. Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin, skincare products formulated with OS1, the first ingredient scientifically proven to reverse skin's biological age at the molecular level. What is your skin in need of right now? For me, it's more moisture, as the Idaho air tends to be dry. But I'm learning that things like dry, flaky skin, redness, even fine lines and wrinkles are about more than just the weather. They're a reflection of what's happening at the cellular level. So give your skin the TLC it needs to stay healthy, smooth, and hydrated as we move into warmer weather. I am loving how easy it is to use OneSkin's OS1 Topical Face Supplement Essential Moisturizer. I just cleanse, pat my skin dry, and apply twice daily. I can really feel and see a difference since I started using it. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code 3in30 at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code 3in30. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them, and please support our show by telling them we sent you. New year, healthier skin, that's OneSkin. Help your skin stay younger and healthier for longer with OneSkin.
And then what is your second takeaway?
Okay. So my second takeaway would be to respect and get excited about their abilities and their interests. My mom taught me this when I first got married. She said one of the most important phrases you can remember is that if it's important to them, it should be important to you. And so that was awesome marriage advice, but I've definitely realized it's very, very important advice for parenting as well. So I've really made a point of making sure that my kids know, like, I think as parents, it's easy to pull our kids into things that are important to us, right? Mm. We want to share our interests. You know, I've taken kids with me to do retreats and they've helped me with a lot of different setup and takedown of different things. And I mean, I've sucked them into a lot of things. I love nature. I love art. I love music. And I've brought them along for the ride. But as the kids get older, it's more and more important that they see that you really respect what's important to them. So, you know, it's wonderful to get excited about their games and their meets. I have kids that are really into sports to help them pursue their interests. You know, you definitely get golden moments as you're just watching them, you know, do something that they love and work hard and, you know, perform or whatever it might be. But I think that if we go even deeper into supporting their interests and passions, then our golden moments get deeper and more beautiful. And it means so much to them when we do something that maybe is obviously not our favorite, but is something that we're willing to do because it's important to them. I had a little story I could share about that. Yes, it just happened last week.
Perfect.
So I am just a total wimp when it comes to doing anything where I don't feel like totally in control of what's happening to my body. Like downhill skiing, not my thing. Mountain biking, not my favorite. And all these different things they're really hard for me. And I happen to have been blessed with kids who absolutely love doing things that scare me to death. They love to mountain bike and jump off cliffs and jump off waterfalls. And they just are fearless individuals. They got that from their dad, not from me. So I've always been involved in, like, I'll drive them up to the ski slope. I'll take them to the trailhead and bring them up there on the bike so they can do the downhill and not have to do the uphill. And I take them on hikes and I'll watch them, you know, I'll try not to freak out while they jump and climb and do all that stuff. I'll cheer them on and take photos. And I think they've really appreciated that support. But I've noticed that what really creates the especially golden moments is when I push myself to actually try to do something with them or try to learn to do on my own little level something that they do and let them have the chance to sort of be the coach. So last week we were down in southern Utah and they were doing a bunch of crazy slick rock biking, which they love. And I, you know, walked with them a little part of the trail so I could video them and cheer for them and see the crazy stuff they were doing. But at the very end of our trip, they were doing a trail that, you know, was kind of more of a tame trail. And they said, "Mom, come do this with us." And every part of my being is like, no, that is not fun. I don't want to do that. But as my daughter kind of looked at me with her big eyes and was like, just come try, just do a little bit and see if you like it, you know? And I'm like, oh, I can probably tell you I can't like it, but I was like, I'm going to try this. So I went down the road and as I anticipated, I was terrible at this and it freaked me out and I kept getting off my bike. In my brain, I kept thinking, I hate this. I hate this. I'm going to turn around. But my daughter's like, hey, look, I remember when I was first learning, it was really rough. You keep feeling like I want to get off, but your bike is a lot better than you think it is. It can go over roots. It can go over rocks. Look, watch me go over roots and rocks. It's totally fine. Your bike can do that too. So she's coaching me through this. And by the, you know, after about 20, 30 minutes of kind of having her patience and her coaching, I was able to like go over rocks and roots and feeling like all, you know, awesome about myself. And she's cheering for me and feeling it was just a beautiful moment that we could share together because I was willing to put myself out there and she was willing to be patient with me and such yes. a role reversal. And it was just that beautiful thing. So I think as we really respect the things that they're good at and that they love and that they're excited about and turn to them and let them be our teacher, that's where we can really have some amazing golden moments, I think.
Yes. And I love this, the idea of turning to them and letting them be our teacher, because I do think that that is what happens when children transition into adulthood. They become our, like, our equal, our friend. I mean, I'm thinking about my own relationship with my father, and it means so much to me that he will ask for my advice on things now. And that in adulthood has led to some of the greatest golden moments in my relationship with my father is these conversations that we have about politics and religion. And he calls me and asks me advice on different things going on at his work. And how cool too, that things that you, so like you taught Eliza how to run, or like you were the first to take her out, you know, and now she, it's one of her gifts and she could, I don't know, but she could probably like run circles around you now,
oh,
you know?
Yes. I mean, that girl runs like mile after mile, 6 minute miles. I mean, she's crazy.
But, wow. That's insane. Yeah. That's so great. And I think about that with my dad, because my dad was the one who taught me how to write and edited all my papers in high school. And now he sends me things and says, can you look this over? I need an editor's eye on it. And I'm like, wow, that is so crazy that now he's asking me to do that. So and so rewarding, so, so rewarding. So I love this takeaway about respecting and getting excited and getting involved in their abilities and interests, whether it's a shared interest that you have as well or not, just go for it and learn about it with them.
Totally, totally.
And then what's your last takeaway?
Okay, and then my last one is basically talk less, hug more, and let them feel their feelings. Because you know what? There's a lot of feelings that are going on, especially with teenagers. And we're having a lot of feelings too. But, you know, we've all heard about how important it is to do 6 second hugs and all that. And often older kids get a little prickly and they're not really into the hug thing, but they need it more and more. And I've found when you just grab them and wrap them into a hug, they'll usually go with it. And sometimes you have to insist. Some kids are just more naturally huggy. I have some of each, but I've found that when we do a little hug or a little family huddle on their way out the door, it just adds that little moment of sweetness that they need. When I give them a little kiss each night, it adds that little moment. You know, physical barriers and emotional barriers really go hand in hand, I've found, as the kids grow up. And so having that physical connection with them on a regular basis really helps them to be able to open up a little bit more to us emotionally. My oldest son is off in college, and when he comes home, he just accepts that hug, even though it's never really been his thing. And he seems to just really, you know, it's just a given. And it's something that makes me feel connected to him and makes him feel connected to me. And he does appreciate it. I'll go and just, like, you know, rub his back a little bit when he's working on homework, when he's here at home with us. And I can just see him, like, visibly sort of relax. And then he'll actually open up to me. So the physical and the emotional is so important. And I think sometimes we have so much we want to say to our kids. We have questions to ask them and things that we need to talk to them about, things that we're worried about. And if we just jump right into the talking or the lecturing or the asking a lot of questions, it doesn't work very well, I've found. We need to first put the physical stuff in place. And then often that's when we can have those conversations that do need to happen. And the less we talk often, the better. And that's been a hard thing for me because I'm a talker and I've got all these great points and all these good analogies and all these stories to share. But I've learned that sometimes the best thing I can do is just put my arm around them and just be quiet.
Yes. When you said that talk less, hug more, I thought of the song from Hamilton and how we need to change the words talk less, hug more. Do you know the song I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Do you have any specific stories of times when that worked with your teenagers when they were upset?
Yeah. So one day, this is fairly recently, my twins are 15 years old and they had gotten into a huge fight about something. And one of them ran into the room and slammed the door so hard. I was like, that door has got to be broken. And he yelled some inappropriate things as he was running into his room. And my initial reaction is just like, I need to go in there and be like, hey, you can't act like this. And that's not okay. But I was like, I need to hold myself back. I waited, gave him some time, walked in. And of course, he immediately says, I don't want to talk to you. And I knew this was going to happen. I'm going to be durable, right? So I go in, I sit down, put my arm around him, hug him in tight and just say, I know you don't want to talk to me. I just need to give you a hug. And so he just is like, I mean, what do you say to that? So he's just sitting there and he's kind of stiff in my arms, but he kind of gradually relaxes. I just said, look, I just want you to know I love you. And I just want to listen to anything that you want to say. I'm not here to really tell you anything. So of course he, you know, takes a few minutes kind of sniffling and kind of starts finally saying how frustrated he is with his brother. And I'm just listening. It's so hard to hold yourself back sometimes because you want to say, well, that's not exactly true. Or, well, actually you did this, but just be quiet, right? Just hug and be quiet. And then finally, after he'd kind of got it all out, I just said, look, I'm sure everything feels terrible right now and that's okay. You're wise to take some time away from everyone. You just stay in here as long as you need to do, but I just want you to know I love you, and just walked out. And it just became this golden moment because I had done the right thing. I had held my tongue. I had just shown love. He did not need to hear what he did wrong at that point. I'm sure he was perfectly well aware.
Yes.
Right? He just needed that arm around him and that understanding. And so that, you know, half hour later, he comes out, hugs his brother. They talk a few things out. He didn't need me to explain anything to him. I'd explain things to him. They'd sat on the fighting bench together and worked things out together since they were babies. At this point, they know how to resolve their issues with each other. He just needed my love. He just needed to know that I trust him. I love him. And I'm sure it's going to be okay. I'm sure he's going to do the right thing. In fact, you've already done the right thing because you went into your room to be by yourself. And that was a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, just simple little things like that can make a huge difference and create that, like, my mom gets me and my mom cares about me and she sees the good in me even when I'm objectively kind of being horrible.
Yes. Right? And I love that you've connected that to a physical, to not just go in there and say, hey, buddy, I love you, but to also offer him a physical connection of some sort, a hug, a little squeeze of the hand, something to kind of break that emotional barrier with also the physical touch, I think is really beautiful and wise.
Exactly.
Well, Saren, you continue to just influence me and impact me so much with your mothering advice and your wisdom. And If listeners want to hear more from you, where can they access more of your wisdom online?
Okay, well, just come visit us at powerofffamilies.com. All kinds of stuff. In fact, a lot of what I shared today will be on a post there, arriving later this week. So you can look there for that. Also, if you want, we have $40 worth of free resources, ebooks, you know, lists of how to build a positive environment in your home, stuff like that. If you just go to powerofffamilies.com/register, you can sign up for that free member package, and we'll just let you know in an email whenever we have new stuff to offer. So Perfect. We'd love to have you come visit us, powerofffamilies.com. We're there anytime for you.
All right. Great. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for being the inspiration for my journal, honestly, with that beautiful quote that came at a time when I needed it so badly in my new motherhood, and I still need it now. So thank you for everything that you've done, even though you didn't even know it, for 3 and 30. It means so much.
Well, thank you, Rachel. You're awesome. I love seeing all the wonderful things you're doing.
Many thanks to Saren for sharing her insights with us on how to create golden moments with our teenagers. As a quick refresher before you go, here's a recap of Saren's 3 takeaways. First, prioritize tuck-in time with your teenagers. This can be as simple as going in to give them a quick kiss and a compliment at the end of the day, but prioritize a moment of connection with them at bedtime whenever you can. Second, respect and get excited about their abilities and interests. It's important to support them in their hobbies, but also get involved and give it a try. Let them coach and teach you for once, and it might lead to really beautiful moments of connection. And third and finally, talk less, hug more. Let your teens feel their big emotions and try not to lecture them or use too many words when they're upset. Just give them a little physical connection, which will hopefully lead to a more emotional connection. I know as we engage in these 3 tips from Saren, we'll create many golden moments to be treasured with our teens. And I really do want to encourage you to reserve your copy of the Flex of Gold Journal to write down these precious moments, no matter how old your children are. A mom on Instagram sent me this message when the journal first came out, and it meant so much to me. She said, "Oh my goodness, Rachel, I was just thinking about your journal and thinking, I don't need this. My kids are almost all grown, and they've almost all left the house. And then I realized that in 2 years, they will all be gone. And maybe this is the tool that I need to keep mothering, keep growing, and keep focusing on the good while they are here." And then I broke into tears. That heartfelt message from a mother who wants to treasure every last minute with her young adult children almost brought me to tears. And I hope that you too will feel the power of this journal to reframe and refocus your motherhood, no matter your stage of life. It's available at 3and30podcast.com/flexofgold. And remember that it's discounted by $10 per journal through Mother's Day 2024. So don't wait. Now is the time to stock up for the mothers you care about in your life. My friends, you are doing a really good job. Your kids might not tell you that very often, but it remains true. I'm rooting for you, and I hope you have a beautiful week with your family.
Hey, I'm Lizzie Mathis, the host of the Cool Mom Code podcast, where motherhood is your key card to the coolest spot in town. I'm excited to give you a behind-the-scenes, real-talk combo between some of the most influential and tastemaker mamas I know. Subscribe and stay tuned for new episodes weekly on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't ever miss a beat. See you there.